Okay. As you know, Megillat Esther is nothing extra. Everything in the beginning of the Megillah that looked like meaningless as an explanation in the end of the Megillah, you know? For example, in the beginning of the Megillah, when you read about the idea of Vashti HaMalka, what's happened to Vashti HaMalka, and Ahasuerush decided to kill her, it sounds meaningless. Why we need to know this? Why we care about Vashti that died, you know? That Ahasuerush killed Vashti. But after that, we realized that this was the opportunity to bring Esther to be the queen. And then you can ask, why we need to know that Esther was the queen? So if you continue to read, you know that that was a medicine that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave before he gave the illness, you know, the machala. Okay? And everything in the Megillah is like this. If you look carefully in the Megillah, you can see everything, you know? Biktan Vateresh. In the beginning of the Megillah, you heard about Biktan Vateresh, you want to kill HaKadosh. It sounds meaningless, but we know that it's not meaningless. Okay? Because it's bring HaKadosh to realize that Mordechai defends him. Okay? And Chazal take it even a step further. For example, there is a letter that Ahasuerush sent in the beginning of the Megillah, Liot Kol Ish Sorer Bebeito Medaber Kilshon Amo. You know, letters to the entire 127 states. You can imagine what it means to send a letter to 127 states at that days, you know? It took a lot of effort. It's not one click on the computer, you know? And Ahasuerush sent this letter to tell what? Sounds ridiculous letter, you know, that every Asman is supposed to be the charge, the control the, his house, and talking in his language, you know, and without the Malbim explanation that you learned in the Malbim class, but stamp shot, it looked like stupidity letters, you know, to spend so much hours, money, effort, to send letters that basically say nothing, that you're allowed to speak in your language and you need to control your wife. That's the reason we send letters. So Chazal explained it in the Gemara in Masechet Megillah that it also was part of the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because people took these letters every place that it's coming, you know, you don't know all the story what's happened, they just look at the letters and see, wow, this king is a little bit problem with his mind, you know, he's a little bit crazy, he sent stupid letters. So then when they get the letter to be ready for the specific day that Haman HaRasha decided to kill all the Jews, they was hesitated if to start to do it or not. And Chazal said in the Gemara Masechet Megillah, "Lulei haigrot harishonot lo nishtayer misoneim shel Yisrael af echad." It means without the first type of letter, people took more seriously the second letter that tell them that they need to kill the Jews. And it was mehadrin b'mitzvot, zrizin makdim b'mitzvot, and start to do it earlier, you know, and start to prepare too much. Why they didn't do it? Because it was, they said, listen, the king is not such a clever king. He needs to take his orders slowly and carefully. Okay, so what Chazal basically want to show is that everything in the beginning of the Megillah has a meaning toward the end that's going to reveal how HaKadosh Baruch Hu planned all this miracle from the beginning. And nothing in the Megillah was random and no reason. Okay? Everyone agree with me? It's obvious. So that's my question. If what I said is true, I want you to explain quickly. What was the purpose of the story of the horse? That Haman HaRasha took Mordechai on the horse ברחוב העיר וקרא לפניו ככה יעשה אל האיש אשר המלך חפץ בעיקרו. How it help on the miracle? In which aspect? It's always remind me, I tell you why I'm asking, it's always remind me that there is a type of prize. When I was I remember when I was young, you know, it was one of the companies that making products for kitchen, you know, that they make like a mivtza, okay, that if you send them X amount of packages of this food, you know, that you bought from this company, you can join a mivtza. The first one that going to, the one that going on the lottery, the lady, the woman that going on the lottery, going to be queen for one day. You know what it means, queen for one day? One day she get a fancy car, she get a lot of good stuff, but after that at night she needs to return everything and going back home, you know? So it's exactly the story with the horse, you know? Mordechai get to be the king for one day. What does it mean? Nothing, if you think about it. This can go on the street, and it's a lot of prestige, and everyone can take a picture and say, wow, look at Mordechai. And it's a little bit in Mogishmak, because as you know, Zeresh, threw out the garbage on the head of Haman HaRasha. Great. It's even more. The bottom line is nothing. I tell you why it's nothing in the bottom line. What's happened then? Mordechai returned to the same place. Haman returned to his house. He still was invited to the queen party tomorrow as a prestige, you know, as a status things that he's the only one that was invited. And the story was exactly the same after that. If you think about it, the reason why Achashverosh told to kill Haman, it wasn't because the story of the horse. Why ask to kill Haman? Because he wanted to kill all the Jews. Why he tell to kill Haman? Just because of that. Yes, I know that there is a pasuk that said, if you remember the Megillah well, that Achashverosh Charvon, I come to Achashverosh and say, Gam inei ha'etz. You know what? Let's look inside. If you look at Perek Zayin, pasuk Tet. ויאמר חרבונה אחד מן הסריסים לפני המלך גם מיני העץ אשר עשה המן למרדכי אשר דיבר טוב על המלך עומד בבית המן גבוה 50 אמה ויאמר המלך קרוא עליו. So you can tell me, oh, that's the reason why we need the story of the horse, because that's what convinced Achashverosh to kill and to hang out kill Haman. Why? Because he want to kill Mordechai, that he is the one that defends Achashverosh. But to be honest with you, it's a ridiculous answer. I tell you why. Because let's say Achashverosh didn't give Mordechai to be the king for one day. It's been tried his horse for that day. It was exactly the same story. Why? It could be exactly the same story that Charvona came to Achashverosh and tell him, do you remember the story about Bigtan Vateresh a few years ago? Do you remember who tell the secret that they want to rebel against you? Mordechai? Haman want to kill him. It even was greater. I tell you why it was more strong. Because here the king can say, I give him his reward already. I'm not owing him anything. If he didn't give it to him, he still owed him, you know? So, I don't able to understand why the story holds mean anything in the Megillah, except that it's great for kindergarten. You know, it's one of the biggest happy time that we remember with the Megillah, but if you think about it, it's stupidity, it's nothing. It's not supposed to be such a great happy minute in the reading of the Megillah, because it means nothing. Haman continued with his plan after that, like nothing happens. And by the way, if you look in the end of Perek Vav, after the story with the horse, the pasuk in Bet said, "Vayashev Mordechai el Shar HaMelech." What does it mean, "Vayashev Mordechai el Shar HaMelech"? In pasuk in Bet, he returned to his position. And Rashi said, "Lesako veleta'anito." What Rashi want to say? Mordechai wasn't stupid. He knew that it means nothing. To be king for one day, it doesn't mean anything. And he returned immediately to his sak veta'anit. He realized that he didn't help all this story, you know? Mordechai returned to is the same place because he knows what it means. So I know that Zeresh told Haman it's a tough luck, you know? אם זרע יהודי מרדכי אשר התחלת לפעול לפניהם, לא תוכל לו, but to be honest with you, it's not also related to the story of the horse. Zeresh can say this any second that she's realized that he's a Jew. So technically she found that she is a Jew in that time. But the story with the horse look meaningless. It looked meaningless. No change. It's not affect anything in the big picture of the miracle. Not like any other things in the Megillah that you look back retroactively, you can see how it's affect the miracle. This story, the one of the most famous ones that everyone loved, looked like it didn't affect anything, and my question is why? And just to strengthen my question, I want to ask you another question. And now you need to listen carefully. You need to listen carefully. Okay? As you know, in Megillat Esther, there is, you know what is hyperbola and parabola? In math, like this. Excellent. So I think Megillah is still built exactly like parabola and parabola together. Let me explain myself. At the beginning of the Megillah, Gidal HaMelech Achashverosh et Haman. It means that Haman going up and up all the time, yes? Greater and greater. And at the same time, that Haman going up and up, what's happened to Mordechai? He's going down in the same way. Okay? what's been going down, his life is threatening, you know, and yeah. And it's changed exactly the opposite in the second half of the Megillah. You know, Aman is going down, and Mordechai, in his status and his place, is going up. And basically, it's not just one going up, one going down. It's basically parallel in some often, you know? For example, what's happening to Aman in the beginning of the Megillah? He gets the ring that he can stamp every letter from the name of the king. What's happened to the Mordechai after that? He gets the same ring. What Aman want to do to the Mordechai? What's happened to Aman in the second half of the Megillah? Taloto al Eitz. What's happened? What's Mordechai? Aman get a special house, like the Prime Minister house. You know, down in Essel, down in 10 in London, the Prime Minister house. There is a king and there is a Prime Minister house. So you get this house. What happened to this house after Aman died? He gave it to Mordechai, you know? What was the best dream that Aman wanted to achieve, you know? The best status that he wanted to achieve, the higher status. What is the highest status that a man wants to achieve?
King.
What?
Want to be in command.
You want to dress in the dress of the king and ride his horse. How do I know that that's what you want to achieve?
Because you went off the church after
that. Excellent. Mm-hmm. What's the last pasuk in the Megillah? Almost. Not the last. Almost. Umordechai yatza min lifnei ha-melech belbush malchut v'tchelet bachur v'ateret za'avot zmin. The same dress that Aman won't get, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't interrupt in the middle, Mordechai get in the end. So you can see that everything that Aman going up in the beginning, Mordechai going up at the end. Everything that Mordechai was supposed to get as a punishment in the beginning, Aman get in the end. So it's like, I call it hyperbola and parabola, it's like reflection, asymmetric story, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone agree?
Yeah.
So in the beginning of the Megillah, Aman going up, Mordechai going down, it's changing in the second half. That's the reason why it's called Benafoku. Exactly. It's called Benafoku because it's symmetric, but the opposite side. You know? Asher ishletu ha-yehudim eyo besoneim. It's not by coincidence that Chazal called it Benafoku. Because Chazal look at the Megillah and see that everything that Aman want to get and get in the beginning, Mordechai get in the end. And everything that Aman want to do to Mordechai in the beginning, get in the end. So it's really Benafoku. So I want to ask you, what is the turning point? You know? I don't know how to call it in math, in geometric, but if you have a parabola or hyperbola, there is a turn point. You know what I mean? The time that it's going to go down or start to go up. What is the turn point in the Megillah? I have no question that it's the story about the horse, yes? Because everything till the story with the horse going bad to Mordechai and good to Aman, immediately after the story of the horse, the first mishteh, you know? Achashverosh want to listen what Esther want, and everything changed. You know, when you read the Megillah quickly, you can see that Perek Vav, that's a turn point in the Megillah, you know, that everything starts to change. So if the story of the horse is meaningless, as I tried to convince you in the beginning, why it's basically the turn point? Why it's built in the Megillah to be the turn point? Okay? So basically, that's my question. My question, if I explain it and summarize what I say till now, everything in the Megillah, retroactively, we can understand. We can understand why we need it. We can understand how it's helping us to build the miracle, except the story of the horse. Even that, if you look at the Megillah, technically it looks like the story of the horse is supposed to be significant, because that's basically bring the third point to the Megillah. Okay? And the question is why? What's the significance of this story? Seder? That's my question. I just want to add another one, small question. Maybe you agree or not agree with me, but let me ask you. I told you that it's a symmetric, opposite symmetric. How do you say it? How do you call it? It's symmetric, but exactly v'nafochu in the Megillah for everything. You know, everything that Aman wants in the beginning, Mordechai get in the end. Everything that Mordechai almost get in the beginning, Aman get in the end. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You understand this. There is a symmetric, opposite way to the first story of Aman. What was the first story in the Megillah about Aman? Kol avdei ha-melech asher b'shar ha-melech. קוראים ומשתחווים לאמן ומרדכי לא יכרע ולא ישתחווה. Do you have something symmetric in the second half of the Megillah for this? Just the opposite?
So,
all, call of, that Aman need to להשתחוות למרדכי? In the beginning of the Megillah, מרדכי need להשתחוות לאמן. That's the first step. He didn't do it. That's the reason why Aman wants to punish him, yes? In the second half of the Megillah, do you have a story that a man needs to leishtachavot Mordechai? Bingo, I'm pretty sure that he's right. I think that's a meaningful of the horse story, you know? If you think about it, what's the idea of riding him on the horse and screaming, Kache asela ishashera melechafez vikaro? What's the idea of leishtachavot? Why people need leishtachavot le'aman? To express what?
Subservience.
To express the idea that this is this guy chosen by the king to be our leader, you know? And that shows that we're giving cover to the person that the king chose. Yes? So what's the idea of fighting on the horse and screaming in front of him, it's exactly the same idea. So it's really interesting. If you have parallel, like, symmetric aspect of the entire Megillah, also the first story about the Lishtachavot Le'aman, we have the parallel, symmetric story in the second half of the Megillah about the story with the horse. It didn't answer my question yet. I just pointed it out, okay? But still I have the question why we need the story with the horse. How it helped to build this miracle of the Megillah. And that's a question, even retroactively, we not understand how it helped us to build the miracle of the Megillah. Okay? To be able to answer all these questions, I want to talk a little bit about Amalek. And I want to do something with you that looked boring in the beginning, but I need your patience for 5 minutes. Hold your breath. 5 minutes. Okay? Listen carefully. I want to bring you a few midrashim to try to describe what's the problem with Amalek. You know, Amalek, we ate him, you know? We ate Amalek, we have commanded to kill Amalek. Chazal said, Ein Hashem Shalem ve'ein HaKiseh Shalem Had She'imachei Zarosh Amalek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu not able like, Samit, sit on his chair. It's not literally, yes? As long as Amalek is in the world, we're not able to build Beit HaMikdash as long as Amalek is in the world, you know? What's the problem with Amalek? What's so symbolic about Amalek? So I want to go with you about few Chazal. They're talking about Amalek quickly. Again, I need your patience for 5 minutes. We give few Chazal about Amalek. And we try to find the common denominator between all these Chazal to try to understand what Chazal think about Amalek. Okay? So let's start with the famous Chazal about the Pasuk Asher Karcha Baderech Vayezanev Becha Necheshalim Achareha. What Chazal said about the word Karcha? Rashi brought this. What Rashi said about the word Karcha? It's a weird word. What? No, the Kereach. Where's Mitch when we need him? What is karcha?
Karcha,
like literally it's happening, but Rashi explains something different. From the word cold, cold. You know this Rashi? Omer Rashi, by Chazal. Mashal ha'ambat yarotachat. It's a parallel to, it's mashal to a hot tube, like shower. How do you say ambat?
Bath.
Okay, like food with water. And everyone wants to take a shower, but no one brave enough to jump in because it's too hot. It's boiling water. Okay? It's boiling water. And no one allowed himself to get in. So the first one to jump into this mikveh was Amalek. He totally get burnt. But after he get burnt, the water get colder. And now everyone was brave enough to jump into the water. Okay? That's what Rashi said, karcha, from the word cool. Cool in the water. Okay? And the mashal, the nimshal is, the entire nation was afraid and terrified from Israel, from Am Israel, after Yitzhak Mitzrayim. All the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to them. But when Amalek was the first nation that jumped to this boiling water that considered Am Israel, he got hurt tremendously. Okay? But then all the other nations was feel much more brave to jump to the water also and to fight against Israel. Okay? Interesting parallel, interesting way that Chazal, according to this midrash, look at Amalek. Let's continue. Give you another few midrashim. You know, Chazal have few places that they talk about the idea when you need to worry that Amalek will come. What is the time that you're supposed to worry that Amalek maybe will going to come? Okay? So there is interesting Chazal about this. Chazal love to learn smichut parashiyot. You know what it means, smichut parashiyot? What is smichut parashiyot? If you have parasha b'Torah, why this parasha coming after something else? Okay? What's the connection between this? Why the order that is coming in this order? So Chazal in two places, because it's appeared twice in the Torah, the parasha of Amalek, In two places, he's asking the question, why Parshat Amalek coming after this previous story? And basically, the answer is because the previous story gives you the hint and warning you when you're supposed to worry that Amalek is going to come. What do you do wrong that bring Amalek? Okay? So what was the first time? Parshat Beshalach. What do you have in Parshat Beshalach before the story of Amalek? It's called about Refidim. There is a story about Refidim, Vayavo Refidim, they come to Refidim, it was in water, they complain, you know. So Chazal said, Lama nismecha parashat Amalek leparashat Refidim? So Chazal gave a weird answer. They taking the word Refidim. What does it mean Refidim? It's the name of a place. But which word in Hebrew is similar to the word Refidim? Some similar? No, the Redifim, like Refidim, from the word Rafui. What is Rafui? It's the opposite of tight. When you hold something tight, it means that you hold it tight. It's loose. That's what I'm looking for. So, the Gemara said, Chazal said, Kevan sherafu yedeihem min haTorah. Weird phrase, why? Because they didn't get the Torah yet. But, rafu yedeihem min haTorah. Loose. Okay, loose. Then, vayavo Amalek. And because of that, they get punished by Amalek. So Amalek is a punishment of rafu yedeihem min haTorah. It sounds a good shmuz, but what's the idea behind this shmuz? Okay? What's the second time that you have Amalek in the Torah? Where? Parshat?
Kitetze.
Kitetze, excellent. In the end of Parshat Kitetze, what do you have before that? I can call you, I can read for you. What do you have before that in Parshat Kitetze? Kitetze. Not which Parshat you have. Before, oh. What story you have? Lo yelecha bekischa even vaeven gdola vektana. Lo yelecha bebitcha ifa veifa gdola vektana. Even shlema vetzedek yelecha ifa shlema vetzedek yelecha leman yarichum yamecha. Etc. etc. Zachor et asher asa lecha Amalek. What does it mean? What's the parasha before Amalek? Does anyone know? Chazal call it parashat mishkolot. What does it mean parashat mishkolot? I'll explain to you. Your measurement tools, it's a good phrase, klei medida shecha, supposed to be exact. For example, you know how they weight things at that generation? They took it like a balance scale. Yeah? You're putting like a stone and a stone on this side and fruit on the other side. When it's come to balance, it means that's the weight of the fruit. Yes? So for example, if you have a stone that said 1 kilogram, but it's not really 1 kilogram, it's 990 grams. Okay? Or it's a pound, but it's 1% less than a pound. But it's saying pound on this, it means that you can change all the time. You know, you have a fruit store, you're selling fruit. You're selling, instead of 1 kilogram fruit, in the price of 1 kilogram, you basically say 990 grams instead of that, you know? Same thing with the pounds. So that's called that your weight tools, your measurement tools are not exact. Anytime that your measurement tools are not exact, it's a danger that you are going to cheating people. Okay? Beseder? So you're not allowed to hold it in your house. You're not allowed to use this type of not exact measurement. Beseder? That's a parasha. So Chazal said, Im eincha nizar beparashat mishkolot, hevei yodea sheba Amalek. You need to be careful that Amalek is coming. So Chazal learned that there's a sign, a hint, what's going to bring Amalek. Okay? So we have a few chazal that I brought you. One about the hot swimming pool, hot mikveh, boiling with, you know. I brought you the Refui Yedeihem Min haTorah one, and I brought you this one of Parashat Mishkolot, that both of them bring Amalek. So what can we say about Amalek? So I don't want you to guess, I want to tell you what Shlomo HaMelech said about Amalek. Shlomo HaMelech in Sefer Mishlei said, Let's take ufeti ya'arim. Shlomo HaMelech said, Let's take. What is let's? Said Chazal, Let's take ze Amalek. So Amalek, according to Chazal, Shlomo HaMelech called them lates. What is lates? You know what is lates? Lates is a clown. But it's not just a clown that make like weird faces. Lates is a person that in any circumstance he has a joke to say. He basically can make fun about any serious things, you know? Doesn't matter what's happened, doesn't matter what the conversation was about, it could be the most dramatic, serious conversation. He put a small joke in the end that killed everything. That's let. So it's not sense of humor. Don't make a mistake. Sense of humor is something really positive. We're talking about someone that never can take anything serious enough. You know, any serious topic that you can raise, any tragedy, any dramatic thing that happens, you will be sure that you can make a joke that kills the dramatization, yeah? And make it to be like, oh, so what? That's late. Shlomo HaMelech described, according to Chazal, Amalek as late. Because Shlomo HaMelech said, listen, you know what's the problem with Amalek? Amalek not have a specific argument with us. We didn't come to conquer their lands. You know, we're not fighting about lands. We're not fighting about any religion thing, you know? We're not fighting the Tanakh that you don't want us to observe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Amalek is basically the people that so against us. Shlomo HaMelech understands that they're so against us because we have something dramatic different. We're taking things serious. And so serious that so many times we put ourselves in threat to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, threatening our life to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going like a blind people so dramatically and so till the end with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have so many red lines that we take too much serious and so serious, and Amalek not able to handle it. Amalek think that nothing's supposed to be too serious. Nothing's supposed to be too dramatic, you know? Take everything easy. You want an example? Let's start with the first father of Amalek. Who was the first father of Amalek? Esav HaRasha. The first time that we meet argument between Amalek representative, the father of Amalek, Esav, and the father of our nation, Yaakov, okay, the first argument that they have is about what? About the Bechora, about the Bechora, you know? Esav Choser Ma'asade Ayev, and Yaakov Avinu made a delicious lentil soup, and he wanted to get this soup, okay? So what Yaakov told him? Give me the Bechora. What Esav said? No problem for the soup. I'm more than ready. And the pasuk said, "Velama li ze b'chora." Ini anochi olech hamud. Velama li ze b'chora. Va'iv ez esav et hamchora. What does it mean? Va'iv ez esav et hamchora. He said, "I don't need it. I give up. Who care?" Did he really didn't care? What do you think? Shat ha'psukim. Parsha told us. You know the parsha told us. Sorry. Does he really didn't care or not?
I just wanted.
So let me read you one pasuk and ask you a question about this. And let's decide if Esav didn't care or was care. The pasuk said, when Esav came to Yitzchak to ask for his bracha, okay? And Yitzchak told him, someone come and take your brachot. And he realized that this was his brother, he told him like this. ויאמר, אחי קרא שמו יעקב, ויעקבני זה פעמיים. את בכורתי לקח, והנה אתה לקח ברכתי. What does he say? יעקב called יעקב, בלשון ויעקבני זה פעמיים. What does he mean ויעקבני? He tricked me twice. Why twice? One time he took my בכורה, and second time he took my ברכה. בכורה and ברכה. Esav, so many years later, still remember what? That Yaakov Avinu tricking him and took his b'chora. But with all the respect, Esav, you said that you don't care. Va'ivez Esav et ha'b'chora. What does it mean, va'ivez? It's coming from which word in Hebrew? Bizayon. What does it mean? It's disgusting. I don't need it. You say that it's disgusting, the b'chora. I don't need it. Why do you complain now that Yaakov Avinu took your b'chora and tricking you? You still remember after so many years that someone tricking you about something that you discuss because it's meaningless and ridiculous and nothing? So if I ask you a question, did Esav care about the Bechorah or not? I think the answer is yes. But he was the father of Amalek. It means even serious thing you don't take too much serious. And there is no red line. You know what it means when I said red line? That this is you never change, you know? You can fit yourself to the reality. If you are starving now, you can convince yourself that Bechorah is not important. 2 days later, it's going to be important again. But nothing is too dramatic. Nothing is too serious. It's too important to fight for it. to get crazy on this. And that's exactly the story about Esau. And that's exactly the story about Amalek. And Chazal described it in a beautiful way. Amalek not able to, he's not able, he get any boiling water to make them cold. What's the idea of cold in the water? Think about the symbolic. You know what is the idea about boiling water? That it's extreme and it's strong, you know, it's he won't make everything cool down, you know? That's how Chazal described Amalek. He's the one that jumped to the boiling water as long as it gets cooler. Even that he knows they're going to get hurt from this. If you think about what Chazal telling us about Amalek, when we're supposed to suspect that Amalek is going to come, Chazal described it in two ways because of the smichu parshiyot that have simple common denominator. What's the simple common denominator? Think about Rafu Yedeh Min HaTorah, that was the first time, and Parashat Mishkol was the second time. What is Rafu Yedeh Min HaTorah? I know what it means, Bitul Torah. What does it mean, Bitul Torah? To stay in bed and not come to the Sicha. Okay? That's Bitul Torah. Or to send me text message that I'm learning in the Beit Midrash, even that we know that we are learning here now, you know? Learning in the Beit Midrash. Okay? That's Bitul Torah. I know what it means, Bitul Torah. What is Rafu Yedeh Min HaTorah? Not tight. What does it mean? You learn Torah. He learned Torah, but not too serious, you know. If the time is over and the Seder is over and he's still in the last line of Tosfot, he will drop his pencil and go into the dormitory. Why? Because time is over. There is nothing serious enough to try to push yourself. It will be difficult. Leave it. That's Rafu Yedeh Min HaTorah. You can learn Torah, but don't take it too dramatic, too serious. If you're not able to do it, never mind. Anyway, it's going to be a great job. You know, great job is always. Don't take it too serious, too dramatic, too fanatic, you know? Loose. That's Rafu Yedeh Min HaTorah. What is Parashat Mishkolot, you know? I know what it means to steal. I want your money, I steal your money, you know? But Parashat Mishkolot, I'm not talking about someone that wants to steal. He has a fruit store, you know? He don't want to steal his customers. But he's just not exact about the weight tools, you know? He's weighing 1 kilogram and say that it's 1 kilogram, but it's really 990 grams. It's almost, you know, plus minus. You know, every time that you say plus minus, it's always minus. That's exactly what he did. What does it mean? He don't want to steal. Chas v'shalom, he's not a bad person. He's not stealing, but he's not careful too much. But take it easy. It's just, you know, a few percent, 1% more or less, a few cents. It's ridiculous. And Chazal told us, you know when you need to be careful about Amalek? When Am Yisrael behaves like Amalek, that's the time that Amalek comes. Amalek mezanev becha anecheshalim acharecha. Think about this passage. Amalek not able to fight against Am Yisrael when Am Yisrael is strong and fanatic in the aspect that he's really take everything seriously. Amalek coming every time that people of Am Yisrael behave like Amalek. Necheshalim. What does it mean, Necheshalim? They're weak people. They following them. You know, they're going after Moshe Rabbein. They're going on the journey with the entire Am Yisrael. But they complain all the time. They don't understand why we need to do it. They're holding it loosely. Yes? Necheshalim. That's what Amalek can attack. Because that's exactly what Amalek loves to do. Amalek not able to handle the idea that Am Yisrael need to take everything too serious, too fanatic, and not take everything easily. By the way, I'm pretty sure that's one of the problems why we're so against Amalek. Because if I have an argument with someone, you know, I say something, he disagrees with me, we argue. At least he has opinion, I can argue, you know? You know what's the problem with Amalek? It's like a problem with Letz, you know? Letz is the worst student that you can have. I tell you why. If you have a student in your class that argues with you about everything, he disagrees. At least it's sharp in your mind, you can argue, you try to convince me, you try to convince you. You know what is the worst? Someone that any serious thing that you talk about, make like a joke in there. So there is no way to convince him. There is no way to fight with him. There is no way to argue. There is nothing to sharp your mind by arguing with him because he's not taking anything serious. What can you do, you know? How can you convince someone to do something? How can you talk with someone that's not taking anyone serious? That's the problem with Amalek. Let's go back to the Megillah story. You know what was the story of the Megillah? Why Am Yisrael was supposed to find and fight against Amalek again? Because the beginning of the story of the Megillah starts with the idea that Am Yisrael was supposed to build Beit HaMikdash, as we remember, and we talked about. And there was in Galut of 70 years, and suddenly something happens. Achashverosh decided they're not going to build Beit HaMikdash again. And he made a beautiful celebration. What was in his celebration? That he's going to bring the Kelim, Kelim Shonim. What does it mean, Kelim, Kelim Shonim? According to Chazal, he's going to celebrate and bring the Kelim from Beit HaMikdash. And what he's basically going to celebrate? The idea that the Jews are not going to build Beit HaMikdash anymore. Okay? And then he invited everyone to come. He promised a kosher food. So the Jewish people need to decide what to do. For one aspect, how can they join the Seuda like this, you know? So like this, it means that we admit that we're not going to build Beit HaMikdash. Okay? But from the other side, how can you go against the king, you know? Specifically, go for toward us. He invited glad kosher food. And he provided us kosher dishes, everything ready, you know? Can you say no? You need to be politically correct. And then all the Jews start to give excuses, you know? You need to be politically correct. So when he spoke about the idea of building Beit HaMikdash, no more building Beit HaMikdash, we can close our eyes and you know, not listening and pretend that we need to the bathroom at that time. We can handle it. We can be okay. They found the excuses and they joined it. When Aman HaRasha asked everyone, Li'ishtachavot le'aman, and doesn't matter, we spoke about this when we learned the Malbi, why it was awesome. Okay? Everyone do with the finger, you know? Yes, it's not such a great, but don't be too fanatic. It's okay. Except Mordechai. It was fanatic. If you think about it, Mordechai was the most fanatic person in the world. He put all the Jewish nation in a threat because of what? You don't want to do something that it's not obvious that it's awesome. Maybe it's a little bit chumah. And guess what? That's a rule in our history. When Am Yisrael weak and hold the Torah loosely, what's happened? Amalek is coming. And that's the story of Puri. And when it's change, you know when it's change? I tell you when it's change. We had a huge problem in the beginning of the Megillah. Am Yisrael behavior like Amalek, as we said before. Not take anything too serious. You know what's happened to Amalek? He became to be such a Jewish person, fanatic. All the people, Mishtachavim Laman, except one. And Aman gets crazy on this. He arranged so many things to kill so many people just because one and only one person. Lo rotze leishtachavot. And look at this. Am Yisrael behaving like Amalekim, and Aman behaving like Jew. And I thought as well to say, what can I do, you know? I already told Esav that any time that Yaakov behaved like Esav, Esav get the bracha of Yaakov. Remember this? What's Yaakov been? What Yitzchak told? Excuse me, to Esav. I read the pasuk. ויען יצחק אביו ויאמר אליו הנה משמני הארץ יהיה מושבך ומטען השמיים מעל והלכה בך תחיה ואת אחיך תעבוד והיה כאשר תריד ופרקת עולו מעל צוואריך. בוא תזמין כשיעברו ישראל התורה ויהיה לך פתחון פה להצטער על הברכות שנטלת ופרקת עולו. בוא תסאי יצחק told Esav, listen, I give Yaakov the ברכות, as long as Yaakov behavior like Yaakov, that he's so insist and fight all his life to get the Bechorah, and he's fanatic about what you want, you're not able to do anything. When you have excuse that you're better than him, it's mean that you said about the Bechorah, and he give up and behave like Amaleki, then you have excuse that you're supposed to deserve the Bracha and not him, you can get it. And that's what's exactly the story of Purim. Esav can come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, listen, I'm the fanatic one. And look at Yaakov Avinu. He don't care. He find excuse to any bad thing that he want to do. You know? So, it's a time that you promised to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yitzchak promised to me that if it's happened in the history, I can get the bracha. So I want to get the bracha now. Then what's happened? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, okay, let's check. Let's check if you really agree to go all the way till the end with your red line. You are like a Jew, fanatic. What's going to be the test? The story with the horse. The story with the horse was the test that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Aman. You say that you are like Yaakov Avinu. Insist to get the Bchora. Agree to go all the way down. You became to be the fanatic. And Yaakov Avinu became to be the one that holding you closely. Let's check. Mordechai lo korea milo mishtachaveh. What are you going to do? I give you the same test. Are you going to mishtachaveh the Mordechai or not? Are you going to take Mordechai on the horse? Are you going to tell the Chashverosh, this is my red line. I'm not going to do it. Even if it's threatening my life. And guess what? He didn't pass the test. He didn't pass the test. The Kodesh Baruch Hu can tell him, listen, that's not what Yitzchak talk about. Yitzchak talk about that you have excuse that the bracha belong to you. That not belong to you. You're not better than them. You are not fanatic, as he said. You are not every red line, as he said. You cross your own red line. You agree to take Mordechai on the horse. That's it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu can save Am Yisrael. I think that's the story of the horse. Is to check a man if he's really ever red lines. Insist about what he really believes or not. I think that's all miracle of Purim. The message of the miracle of Purim is, be careful with my word, be fanatic. I'm going to take it back, don't worry. What does it mean, be fanatic? Does it mean the person needs to be fanatic about everything? Chas v'shalom. Darkeha darkei noam. But, as a Jew, we have a red line. And everyone is supposed to have his red line. What I insist that I'm doing doesn't matter what's happened. If you have no red line in your life, if there is nothing that you say, ad kan, that's too much. And I'm not talking about the big three, you know. Of course, the big three are tzalachically red line. I'm talking about your personal religion growth. If in your personal religion growth there is nothing that you say, that I'm not going to give up about this. That's what I'm going to do anyway. This is my red line. I can give up a little bit about this. I can give up about this. I can close my house here. But there is something that it's my red line. If that's not the way that you look at your life, that in Judaism it's allowed to put red lines, and it's must put red lines. You need to be clever, you don't need to be fanatic in ridiculous things, but you need to have things that you understand that it's impossible that everything in my Judaism it's mean, okay, I will try, it's a nice tradition, it's a good if I can do it, if I'm not able to do it, so what? You know, and always I can find excuses why not to do it. If that's your Judaism, it's not Judaism, it's Amalekiyot. Judaism, it means that you push yourself. That you say there is a thing that is important to me enough not to make a joke in the end and to give up. Again, I didn't say all the Judaism, chas v'shalom, you're not fanatic. But Judaism, all the concept of Judaism, it's exactly the opposite of Amalek. It means that there is a thing that's important to us. It's what sellers that come to 100 years ago, 170 years ago, to build settlement in Eretz Israel. They decided that that's what they believe that they need to do. That's what the Jews expected them to do. That's what their nation expected them to do. And they didn't give up at the first difficulty. They didn't say, okay, never mind. We can do it in Uganda. Almost, but not. That's what Judaism is about. Doesn't mean that you need, again, don't take it not correct. I didn't say that everything needs to be fanatic. But Judaism concept, it means that there is a thing that it's serious enough that I'm not looking for excuses. If I really believe that that's what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to do it. Chas v'shalom not threatening my life if it's not the big three, but I'm going to do it. And not to find excuses all the time. I think that's the message of Purim. And if you think about Purim as a radical holiday, you know, it's such a radical holiday, we drinking in Purim, we do such a radical things that normally we're not doing in Judaism, is because it's maybe come to symbolize that's exactly the idea. That Purim is a fanatic all day. Because Purim come to say that as a Jew, part of our identity, that there is thing that's so important to us that you don't care what other people say. We put a custom on ourselves because you don't care what people think. We don't care what people say. We're not embarrassing from anyone because we know that that's what the truth to do. We don't try to be politically correct because all the miracle Purim is that there is, and that you're not supposed to be politically correct. We're giving tzedakah to everyone, not just to people that you check carefully, because you don't care so much, because it's exactly the same idea. If there is something really important, you not try to find excuses. And I think that's part of the concept of Purim. It's obviously the concept of Milchama Be'Amalek, and that I think the message that we in the end of the winter's month need to take upon ourselves. The Judaism, the yeshiva, not call you to be fanatic in everything. It doesn't mean that you need to be not realistic, but it doesn't mean in the same way exactly that it's possible to talk about Judaism and that everything it's mean I will try, and if it's not working, so what? I will find excuse why it's okay, and I don't need to take anything too much serious because the main idea is to love it and to have the feeling. That's not Judaism. Judaism, it's mean that there is a thing that is important enough to me that I not try to find excuses, that I not try to find reason why not to do them. I will going to do them anyway. And that's what the message I think that we need to take from Purim. Great, a nice and great holiday. Now, be sure that